Would you turn your Bible with me to Titus chapter 1, verse 10? Barbara was not happy that I'm not going into chapter 2. Oh, everybody say, oh. Okay, folks, Saturday we have men's prayer breakfast. While the ladies gone, we're going to be there at 8 o'clock at the Moors. Ron, do you know how to get? Can you come?
Yeah, I'll be there. I don't know how to get there.
Do you want to meet us?
Sure.
Jack Sutton, why don't you coordinate that with him? I'll come to your home at 7:30 at your home.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Let's start. By the way, I made a boo-boo on the spelling. It's supposed to be a task of elders, not test of elders. And Spoon already made fun of that, so I know Spoon never make a mistake, so he can make fun of people. Jesus told us about the responsibility of those who receive a lot of blessings. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Keep your finger right at the Titus. Luke chapter 12, 48. Some of you guys do know this by heart, but for those who don't know by heart, let's read that portion. 12:48 in the book of Luke. Do you want me to hold the Bible for you?
No,
if I hold it from here, maybe you can see. Okay, let's read. But he who did not know, yet committed things that deserving of the stripes, shall be beaten with a few. Here's the key line. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Note the word to whom much is given. See, in my opinion, there can be abundant blessing of the in finance. It can be good health, or it can be just spiritual gift or the blessings. And, you know, sound mind is another good thing. A lot of people in the mental hospital because they don't have a sound mind. If you have a good sound mind, even if your body is cracking and when you get up in the morning, you're moaning and groaning like I do, hey, we still have a sound mind. Folks, generally, I'm losing sound mind very loose way. That is a blessing. And the time we are here, time we are living here, that's another blessing. Each day counts. Each day should be for the glory of God. See, at the end of our life, all of us will face that one way or another, whether we die and go to heaven or rapture happened and we get to see our Savior and Lord. And when he asked, after he said, well done, good and faithful servant, if he says to us, then he will ask about what we've done with all the blessing he gave to us. How are we going to count? All the blessing we receive, we have to be accountable for what we've done with his blessing. If God chooses to give you abundant blessing in finance, what did you do with that money? If God gave you with a lot of spiritual gift, what did you do with that gift? If God gave you a long life, what did you do with that long life? Did you waste it? Or did I waste the money? If I did, then I'm accountable for that. Why am I talking about this? Because there are a good number of Christian people who somehow they think that they are pastors and elders because they want to be. Without calling of God. Folks, listen carefully, please. I don't know if you feel that you should be called as a pastor or elder. If you're not called by God to do that, I recommend you not to do it. Because if you're trying to do it with your own strength, you are going to be one miserable person. I've seen those people before. somebody who tried to be a pastor and end up just making everybody miserable. Because it requires a lot of responsibility, and much is given, much is required. And there are people who believe that in what we're going to learn here in the book of Titus, those false teachers, they don't have any call of God, but somehow they think that they are spiritual leaders, and they think that they should be acknowledged. There is a reason for it, because spiritual pride. There is nothing more than spiritual pride. People want to be known as pastors and elders or reverend, especially reverend. I introduced myself to the one person. He said, "Oh, I'm reverend, whatever." So I said, "Oh, yeah." I shook his hand. I didn't even tell him that I'm a pastor, because since he's reverend. In my opinion, there was only one person who's reverend. That's not human being. That's a God. So tonight we are going to find what the Apostle Paul is telling his spiritual son Titus about handling the false teachers. We are going to find that characters of false teachers, we are going to find that the motives of false teachers, and we are going to learn how to handle them in case we come across with the people with a false doctrine. So we'll start at the verse 10 of chapter 1 of the book of Titus, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to know you more and understand your word, and most of all, how to handle the false doctrine and false teachers. They are deceived people. By grace of God, we are not. Let us love them, but let us guide them to the truth, so that truth will indeed set them free. And keep us away from this deception that any one of us can fall into. Let us not think that too highly of ourselves, but simply depends on you by the grace of God and by mercy of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first one, verse 10. For there are many insubordinate. Would you underline that for me, please? Insubordinate. Both idle talkers, underline that, and deceivers, underline that, especially those of the circumcision. Verse 11, whose mouth must be stopped and who subvert the whole household, teaching things which they ought not, note that, they ought not, for the sake of what? Dishonest gain. That's the reason, that's the motive. So far, I actually underlined those things. The reason why is their characters are insubordinate, they're idle talkers, and they're deceivers. We'll go one at a time. It didn't take very long for the deceiver to come, and the tare and the weed would come in to the field where God sowed the seed. When God sowed the truth, seed of truth, and Satan came by, and he literally saw the seed of lie and the deception right after that. We find this in the same thing in 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is telling his young spiritual son, Timothy, about the same thing. So you might want to jot it down. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you can relate this thing. There's two verses that we find that the character and the motives of the false teachers. Number one is character of the false teacher. That we find is this false teacher would not submit to the God's word. And I actually underline this insubordinate. That is a great translation. Also, another great translation in New American Standard Bible as well as New International Version both said rebellious. Rebellion is, as we studied before, is like a sin of witchcraft. Remember that from the 1 Samuel chapter 15? And God despised that thing. And beware of the teachers who will not put themselves under authority and accountability. One time I was watching one of those Christian TV stations. I don't know why I was watching it. I guess I want to watch some comedy, so that's why I was watching that thing time to time. Anyway, I was watching that thing, and this person said, "Well, we don't get involved with this national accountability, you know, I forgot the name of it, the Christian Accountability Association. And we don't get involved with that thing." I thought, who's accountable? Who are you accountable to? Nobody. So they spend money however the guy choose to do so. That's rather bad way to do it. Let's go to, since I mentioned the 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's go there. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Let's read that portion. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. You there yet? Come on, Marcus. Chapter 15, verse 23. It's the guy thing. Guys, they had to be told several times. For the rebellion is as what? The sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness as the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from the being king. God has established order of authority in several different areas in our lives. Not only at home, workplace, and the marketplace, and the community. God wants us to recognize the place where we are in, and he wants us to be under authority. It's same thing with the church. There is an infrastructure, and that needs to be kept. And some people choose to ignore that, and it is like these false teachers. And when they try to ignore that, then there's a problem. If there were many contentious people and problem people during the time of Apostle Paul, maybe they ran out of people, those kinds of people, so we don't have those people, right? Right. We still have a problem with the people who has an attitude of the contentious as well as with going against authority. If you notice that one of the common denominator of the false teachers, they all have silver tongues. They can talk. They can talk smooth, and they are even pious outside. And I often hear this when they say the God, they don't say God, they say God. You have a problem speaking? Are you a Korean? Why you have a problem with speaking English? Obviously, they have a problem. They cannot say just God. God, duh. I guess that makes them special. Even though they are outside and they are pious, but inside there's no content of substance. And when it boils down, it's nothing more but a hot air. I've learned that if I want to find out about that particular person, I just let them talk. I ask a lot of questions and let them talk. While they're talking, I get to know a lot about that person's personality as well as how much they are telling the truth. Because once for example, we had this young man who delivered the, you know, time to time they have this food, they're delivering food, Omaha steak, something like that. You know, they said, well, we couldn't deliver this food to this whoever, so we're going to sell it to you cheap. So we bought that. Anyway, yeah, suckered. Anyway, while he's talking, he told me that he designed a web page. You guys know that I do that kind of thing. So I let him talk, and he says, well, I write my own HTML code. And I was like, wow, that's nice, because it's not that easy to write his own HTML code, and probably Ron knows about that kind of thing. Pretty soon he said, I asked him a simple question, do you know the Flash? And he said, what's that? If the web designer does not know the Flash, that means he doesn't know anything. All I got to do is just let them talk. And another thing that when you talk with somebody about the Christian doctrine, when they said they're Christian and they're really showing off their spirituality, let them talk. Pretty soon you're going to find out whether that person is real or not. It is interesting to see how the one false teacher learned the doctrine from another person and they simply copy and make it into their own thing. Great tragedy is that these deceived people by their false doctrines, they themselves are deceived, and they claim to be teachers and teaching the truth, but in In reality, they are the pattern of error. Because they themselves were deceived by Satan, and they are deceiving others and teaching the things they ought not to teach. They are not telling the truth. Because I said this before, if there is a 99% truth and 1% false, is that truth? No. Even there is one small portion of false, that is not truth. God is truth all the way, but the Satan will mix a little bit of lie with a lot of truth. And that's how he cons people. Second thing is the motive of the false teachers. What are the two motives of false teachers? Fame and money. What else is there? They're in the market for profit. Certainly, they don't care about the people around them, and God called them to take care of. And they might have started right, but somehow they got in the sideway, and they choose to make money more than making people. They are not ministering to the church. Rather, they are using the religion to make a profit. And true servant of God, listen carefully, please. True servant of God does not minister for the personal gain. Rather, they minister to help others to grow in the Lord, in faith. I'm sure that many of you saw the people who are on TV, Christian TV, also so-called TV evangelists. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, flashing their wealth. Of course they are wealthy because they always cry for money. And when they gather up the money and they do whatever they want to do, and problem, what baffles me is the people actually send the money to them. And time after time, this expose come out, and people still send them money. What was that guy, Robert Tilton? You know, he went down the drain, and he ended up in the prison, and when he came out, he started all over again. And guess what the people did? They sent the money. Which part of idiot side they don't understand? I don't get it. Verse 12. One of them, prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars and evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. They'll therefore rebuke them sharply, and they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to the Jewish fable and commandment of man who turn from the truth. The people of island of Crete did not have a good reputation. So if somebody called your group as an evil beast and lazy glutton and liars, don't consider that as a compliment. Obviously not, right? But these people have that kind of reputation. Now, in Greek word, they came up with the word for the Crete, people of Crete. There it is, Cretizion, and that means to lie and to cheat. That reminds me, another city in Greece has the same kind of not same meaning, but the same kind of concept. This particular city was so bad with the sexual immorality. Do you remember which one that is? Corinth, exactly. City of Corinth. Corinth is up here. Crete is down here. Corinth is here, and Athens was down up there. Now, Corinth is so known as a sexual immorality, they even named it Corinthomize. Then in Greek word, that means to Corinthianized. That means that person is sexually immoral. Totally sexually immoral person. They're kinds of people who is living in a sexual immorality. Okay? These false teachers try to teach the things they are not to, and such as the Jewish legalistic system, through circumcision and through dietary laws. You have to eat certain food to be saved. Folks, there is a two phase in the legalistic system. You are saved by the law, and they said to stay in the salvation mode, you have to continue to follow the law, otherwise you lose salvation. That is their concept. Can I make an example of not just Jewish legalism? How about Mormonism? How about Jehovah's Witness? Their religion. They have to earn their salvation. That means do this, do this, do this. Their leaders, the religious leaders, continues to tell them, do this, do this. While our King, Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. There's nothing for you to add, for me to add unto the salvation. If we can add anything, then why would he die for us? Doesn't make any sense. We are saved by the grace of God and actually called to live higher level. Higher level than those who abide by the Ten Commandments. What am I talking about? Let me put it this way. According to the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is you shall not kill. Correct? So somebody just cut you off on this highway I-19 and you just fuming him because after he cut you off and started to drive slow. Have you ever had that kind of problem? I'm sure a few of you. And probably I'm the one who cut you off and then slow down. Now, just for the legalistic concept, as long as that person does not kill the other person physically, he is not murdering. However, what Jesus said, if you even have a bad thought toward the other person, that is the same thing as murdering. Another thing, according to Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, correct? According to what Jesus tells us, even you look at the other person with the lustful eyes, what? You commit the same thing as committing adultery. So God, Jesus is demanding us to live in a higher level. Attitude of some people is, it makes no difference as long as you believe something sincerely, it's okay. Have you ever heard that before? I heard that from my former co-worker. Apostle Paul would not agree with that kind of foolish idea. It makes all the difference between life and death, and truth and deception. We can, listen carefully please, we can choose what we want to believe, but we cannot change the consequences. So somebody can believe all they want, I can change. I believe that there is no gravity, so he step off from the high building or step off from the tall cliff, high cliff, and see what happened. Well, what do you know? Gravity is still out there to pull you down to the ground for 240 feet per second. And then you make a splash sound. Two of the false teachers' interpretation method, their favorite method is using Bible, interpreting the Bible in the allegorical method and a personal revelation. What is the allegorical means? It means that, some of you heard it, some of you never heard it. Allegorical means that this means this. I know this is what it says, but actually this means this. Because how do you know? Well, I just know because God showed it to me. Like I said before, it has something to do with maybe bad enchilada the night before. So, folks, there is no such a thing as allegorical in Bible. Everything is literal. You take the literally. Analogy is a different story. Analogy is not the same thing as allegorical thing. Analogy is making a picture, drawing the painting to explain a little bit better. Allegorical manner and personal revelation is a dangerous way to do it, and also that's a good way to start your own false doctrine, and you can pretty much fit the Bible the way you want it. And that's how the false doctrine starts. When you plane, let me put it this way. Not that one. you know what? I didn't give you that, didn't write the thing down. See that? I didn't put the thing up there. When the plain sense of Scripture make a good sense, seek no sense. Okay? When the Scripture make a plain sense, don't go any further. Don't go any further. Time to time, when we study the prophecy, like the book of Daniel, we had to study, do some cross-referencing, correct? With the Revelation, with the Ezekiel, with the Joel, with the Malachi and Zephaniah and Zechariah. We have to cross-referencing. That has nothing to do with the allegorical study. Actually, allegorical study. There's not just such a thing as allegorical study. So if you stay in within the context with the simple, plain manner, then you'll never get into the eisegesis. I-S-O-J-E-S-I-S. Eisegesis means deductive study. What we do is inductive study. Eisegesis is the deductive study. You can easily go out into the false doctrine. Now, we go into the verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. This particular verse, verse 15 of Titus chapter 1, is often used as a by some ignorant people, almost like a license to sin. To the pure, all things are pure. It sounds novel, so you can use it as a different way. So if I am saved, I'm pure, so everything I do is pure. Does it make sense to you? It sounds like a good thing. No. What if what I do is does not reflect what I'm called to do, then that's not pure. Good example would be fine art versus pornography. If there is a picture of woman and dressed up, and that's one thing, but if somebody starts to draw a woman's nude and using it for the erotic things, that's not a fine art. I don't care what they call it. That's not fine art. For example, if remember this time that somebody put the crucifix, put it upside down in the bottle of urine? They call it fine art. My major was sculpture, as some of you know, when I was in college. I know what art is, and I know what stupidity is. There's a clear difference. The difference is need to be known, and it's not depends on the eye of beholder. If our heart is pure before God, all things are pure. Let me put it this way. If we are truly saved, if we want to follow God, and we will do what is honorable to God. Good example we can find is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Let's go there. Keep your finger right there again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 8. 8 and 9. Philippians right after Ephesians, right before Colossians. You there? Finally, brethren, whatever the things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Folks, let's say there is somebody, again, we always pick on who? Charlie, right? Charlie is saved, and he tell other people he's saved, but he enjoyed dirty joke. He go watch the pornography. That's all he care about. And can you say that he's really saved? It's not our place to judge, but when we see his fruit, can somebody say that confidently that person is saved? You have to wonder. Why? Because the fruit does not show whether he is truly saved or not. And you might say, Pastor, you're going to the dangerous territory. I'm glad you're thinking that way. For those who dwell in the impure thought and will do the impure things. For those who do have a pure heart will do the pure things, holy things. If you are dwelling on the bad things, then outcome of the life is bad things. You know, simple word, simple sentence, garbage in, garbage out. What goes in and comes out. To remain impure, we have our mind has to be uncorrupted, and that will bring the positive things. That's what we're going to see in verse 16. They profess to know God, but in words they deny him, being abominable, and disobedient, and disqualified. Underline disqualified, please. Disqualified for every good work. Doesn't this sound like what's happening in the United States now? These people profess to know God, yet what they do is they're denying him with their lives. Majority of American people say they are Christian and they know God, yet their lives denying him. As a matter of fact, I sent an email out to some of you guys, those who are on my email list. CBS is going to present 9/11 this Sunday evening program. I guess it's a 5-year. Is it ABC? I thought it was a CBS. Okay, ABC or CBS, they're all alike. But this particular program contained obscene language. That's what I was told. Do you know that President Bush passed a law that each word will cost a TV station or radio station $325,000 each word. But yet, their CBS will not edit those things because they think it should be done that way. Let the KGUN or KOLD know that you are not pleased about it and tell them to don't even air it. Each affiliated station can do whatever they want to do. They don't have to air what the main network system sending out because it will cost them money. KOLD or KGUN 9 have to pay $325,000 per word. Remind them. That's the kind of the country we are living in. If we talk about Jesus, that's no. But if we use God's name in vain, that's cool. Ceremonies and the ritual cannot change the evil heart of man, but only the Word of God can change the heart of man. When the heart is changed, the life will reveal the change. You with me? That's what I'm saying. If the person is truly saved, the life reflects that person's salvation. Apostle Paul and James were never in disagreement. You know, Martin Luther, bless his heart, he thought the book of James should be put in the way in the back. And at the beginning, he even considered that it should not be considered as a part of the Bible. Because what does it say in the James? Faith without deed is what? According to him, is dead. It goes completely against the book of Romans. He had a good concept, but Apostle Paul never disagreed with James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Actually, they are in agreement. Saving faith produces godly life. Saving faith produces godly life, as John Calvin said, faith alone saves. We all agree. But the faith that saves is not alone. Once a person is truly saved, that person's life is changed, that person's life will reflect what Jesus did done in his life and her life. I know a few people who profess to say they are born again, but I have to wonder, are you really? Do you have that positive assurance? Because I don't see any fruit in your life. I have to say that. The word disqualified is in this word the same. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Some of you guys know this by heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. This is Apostle Paul that's speaking, and he's writing in kind of sporting term, sports term. Therefore, I run this, thus, not with a certainty, uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beat the air. And some of you virgin might say this shadow boxing. But I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become what? Disqualified. In Greek word, adokimazo. Out of all the word in the Bible, this is the most frightening word to me. Adokimazo. Disqualified. Some of you know that I was involved with a combat shooting match. We go through this scenario. There's one bad thing that you don't do is shooting the hostage. And if you do that, you disqualify yourself. No, that's not the thing. The worst kind of thing is you have a gun and turn around toward the people. That you disqualify yourself right away. Because it's a danger to other people. Same thing. In Christian realm, Christian world, that any Christian leaders must be in the course. If we get out of the course, we disqualify ourselves. Folks, it's not just for this Christian leaders, laymen too. If you go off the course, you disqualify yourself. Adakimatsu. Write it down somewhere where you can see. Let it be frightening word to you whenever you see it. After we preach, let me put this, after you witness to others, you might disqualify yourself. Think about it. It's a frightening word. Oh yes, there is many obstacles in our race. And there's temptation, distraction, and even brutal force from coming from the enemy. Listen, those things does not make us to be disqualified. Let me repeat one more time. Distraction, temptation, brutal force from the enemy, or the obstacle do not make us to be disqualified. Do you know who make us to be disqualified? Me, you, yourself. Ourselves, nobody else. That's why we are the worst enemy when it comes to spiritual warfare. Let's make application number one. The only weapon against Satan's lie is God's truth from the Bible. In other words, the Bible has the final authority. I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care what my thought is. What this says is final. In context. In context. Second application. We can choose what we want to believe, but we cannot change the consequences. We can choose what we want to believe, but we cannot change the consequences. We can face false doctrine. We must immediately reject it from the beginning. Otherwise, it will spread throughout our midst, just like the weeds. How many of you guys are enjoying the weed in your front yard and backyard lately? Every time there is a rain, guess what? The weeds come out like a weeds, right? I just spray that thing, whatever that thing is I have, and next day there's more weed, a different spot. If we don't take care from the beginning, that yard will look like a jungle. It will eat you alive. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire, it is our earnest desire that we may stay in the course, not disqualify ourselves.